We are a day away and about 25 or so hours away from the start of the NBA draft lottery reveal. And there is more hype around this actual lottery, just the order of where teams are going to be drafted, than some actual drafts and how they've gone down in the NBA in the past. There is a chance that there is utter chaos in this lottery. I mean, there is a real chance that things are broken and people are putting on tinfoil hats and there's a lot of outrage. So here's the big thing here first. Obviously, from a Wizard standpoint, you want the number one overall pick. But anywhere in the top five, you're going to get a very good player. It's identifying who that one is, and you know, obviously that is massively important. Let's put the Wizard situation aside here, because it's not an easy spot for them to be in, still even with being, you know, three best odds, everybody's got 14%, and there's usually a drop. I'm just preparing you for it. I don't like it. We don't like it. But there's a real possibility that that happens. There is no team that I am rooting against more in this draft lottery than the Pacers. Now, you might be like, why? Why the Pacers, Nick? Well, let me tell you why. Let's not forget the Indiana Pacers made the NBA Finals last year. The Wizards had the worst record in the NBA. The Pacers have a chance to have the number one overall pick over the Wizards. The Pacers have a 52% chance to keep their pick in the top four, but they've also got a 48% chance that the Clippers get their pick. Because here's the thing. The Pacers traded their pick to the Clippers only if it lands between picks 5 and 9, and they can't fall past 6. So it's if the Pacers land at pick 5 or pick 6, it goes to the Clippers. I know it's a tight window. I know we're threading a needle. I know it sounds really complicated. Here's what we're rooting for. The Pacers to fall out of the top four. Why? Because they made the damn finals. And because that's an example of a team that was really tanking this year. For all of this stuff about teams tanking and then they're lumping the Wizards into it, the Wizards had a bunch of young guys on the court and they couldn't play defense and they were going to lose games this year. Yes, at the end of the season, did they sit guys? Yes, we all knew what they were doing. But give me a break. That's the end of the season. The Pacers lost Tyrese Halliburton to a torn Achilles last year. And what did the Pacers do this year? They absolutely tanked the entire year. Yet in the same playoffs, the Celtics lost Jason Tatum to a torn Achilles. What did they do? Yeah, they did try to clear some salary, but they still went out and tried to win games this year. And what happened? I know they lost in the first round, but they made the playoffs. The Pacers are the ultimate example of a team that's tanking, and they were opportunistic, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them because this is how the NBA allows you to rebuild teams. Not that the Pacers needed to rebuild, but they were taking advantage of an opportunity. Years ago, the Warriors were in this spot, remember? When they went through the Steph Curry injuries, Klay Thompson was out for 2 years. They were decimated by injuries. They got the number two overall pick, but James Wiseman didn't work out. They got another year after that, 7th overall pick, and that was Jonathan Kuminga. That worked out until he wanted to get traded. They screwed that up because he looked great in Atlanta. But you have teams that have occasionally, they go through these moments. Great team, a lot of injuries. They just waste a season, and then they get a great draft pick. The Spurs got Tim Duncan that way. I am rooting against the Pacers so desperately in this lottery tomorrow. I cannot stress how much I want to see them fall out of that. They don't deserve a pick that high. That team made the NBA Finals last year. That is the worst part about all this. Now, I know they're trying to change some things in these lottery rules where, like, if you made the conference finals or something, you can't have a certain, like, a top five pick or whatever. I'm okay with that. You can alter that a little bit because it just drives me insane to think that the Pacers are in this spot. There's another scenario tomorrow. Well, actually, there's a couple, but I think there's one big one here. The Oklahoma City Thunder could get the number one overall pick. They could win the NBA championship. They could win another title, back-to-back titles, and also draft number one overall. Now, it's a 1.5% chance. They're sitting at 12 right now. It's not even their pick. It's the Clippers' pick.
Isn't that around what the Mavericks had last year, though?
Yes.
Right? So it's not unheard of.
Metal Chris, let me tell you something, my friend. That is exactly the problem right there, is that we've now seen over the last two drafts, we've watched teams like the Mavs go from 11-1 and get Cooper Flagg. We've watched the Hawks go the year before that from 10-1 and then get Zachary Risacher, and he's not an NBA player, clearly. But they still, it was a weak draft, but they still went up to number one. There is a chance that a team like the Thunder could jump all the way up. There is a chance that the Warriors at 11 right now could jump up. Again, these are small. Hell, there's even a chance, if you really want to talk outside chances, that the Heat. Can you imagine the Heat jumping up to number one? This is the type of stuff the NBA is now allowed to happen, where you've gotten to a point where you have, or maybe it's not number one. You know,
are they trying to kill the fan bases of teams that are already bad?
I mean, it just...
like, perpetually bad? Because, when you see the same teams getting the good players over and over, and your team just can never win because you're tanking or not, or you're just bad.
That's my point. Is you are now doing this to a point where your bad teams can't even use the draft necessarily as a way to rebuild. That's what makes this that much more difficult. Now, granted, the Heat have a 1% chance to have the number one overall pick, right? A 1% chance, and the Thunder have a 1.5% chance. Golden State's got a 2% chance. So again, these are outside chances it happens, but we've just seen it the last 2 years, which, if we're going to look at this from a positive spin, hear me out, let's work on this. That means the odds are we don't have a jump this year. Ah, see? Because the last 2 years, improbable odds were overcome so the Mavs and the Hawks could have number one overall picks. But now, now it's different. This is what we're hoping for here. It's what we're praying for. Look, Wizards sitting there at number one would be great. Top three, you're going to get somebody. The drop-off is a little... there's a little bit more of a drop-off after top three. Or I think... I wouldn't even say drop-off. I would say there's a lot more in terms of, Cameron Boozer's probably going either second or third. If the Pacers might take Cameron Boozer. There's reports that that might be the case. Number one's going to be DeBanza probably across the board. But then there's, Darius Acuff and Caleb Williams and Caleb Wilson and some of these other guys where, once you get to four, some different names are going to be thrown around. But... I mean, there is just so much. We know that teams, a third of the league was tanking for this draft. A third of the league wanted to get in on this draft. Everybody's been anticipating it. Oh, and by the way, let's not also forget the Mavs have a 6.7% chance of getting the number one overall pick, and that could happen again, which would be just as bad. Kyrie Irving's been out all year. We know they were tanking this year, too. And the Mavericks don't control their own first-round pick again until 2030. Could you imagine if after getting Cooper Flagg, they had A.J. DeBonsa? Oh, my God. I would get so pissed. And they just hired Masai Ujiri, who's a great
general manager. It shouldn't even be a possibility. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, that's what they're talking about is trying to change some of these rules here where, you can't get back-to-back, number ones, or you can't go to the conference finals was one of the rules that was thrown out there. You can't go to the conference finals and get a top three pick. Because, look, here's one of the reasons why I want the Wizards to stockpile draft picks, because I know at times when people say, you get a first-round pick in 2030. Okay, what's that going to do? Well, actually, if you have the foresight and look at how a roster's built, and you're making a trade with a team that might be all in to win now, 3 years from now, they're in a complete tank mode. And by 2030, they're going to be a team that's picking in the lottery. That's what the Thunder have done for years. The Thunder have collected draft picks down the road in hopes that these draft picks are going to be more valuable as those teams start to fall off and start to lose. There was panic around the NBA, and there still is, but there's less of that now, about the Clippers owing their pick to the Thunder. It's a little bit less because, the Clippers were at least a better team as the season went on. Again, the Thunder have a chance, a tiny chance, but they have a chance. This is how the Celtics operated for a while, too. I talk about these teams and how they built up. Let's not forget that when Danny Ainge was running the Celtics, he did the same thing the Thunder have done. It was draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. Now, they wanted to trade for Anthony Davis. He wasn't going to sign long-term there, so they went other routes. But the Boston Celtics did win the number one overall pick the year that they drafted Jason Tatum. They just traded back with the Sixers, which was the Sixers' dumbass fault, because then the Celtics got the guy they wanted at number three in Jason Tatum. The Sixers traded up. You get a bust at number one, and you're looking going, oh my God. Here's the thing. There are smarter people in some front offices than others. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. You have certain people running front offices that are better at managing the salary cap, that are better at having the foresight to look down the road and go, delayed gratification, but we could get ourselves a really good pick down the road, and that could be more valuable some of it's luck. I understand that. But there are just better front office people that help build rosters, and you see it. It's why I love what Sam Presti's done in Oklahoma City. It's an unbelievable franchise. It's so well run. And they've done it without really the ability to go out and get big-name free agents, even when you could do that. It's harder now in the NBA to even do that. But at what point, like, what are you going to do if you're the NBA? How do you rebuild a team? If you are the Grizzlies and they trade Ja Morant and they finish with, like, the sixth pick in this draft, like, okay, you're a middle-of-the-road team. The Pelicans, are they just going to sit there in perpetual mediocrity forever? It's some of these – the Jazz – I know the Jazz made some trades, and they'll probably be at least trying to play for the play-in next year. But, I mean, some of these franchises, hell, I'd argue the Nets. No one wants to go there in free agency. They had like five first-round picks last year. They're all terrible. I mean, they can't draft anybody. They can't get any free agents. They're a complete disaster. They thought they were going to be cool when they moved to Brooklyn, and they had a few years of that, and they thought Kevin Garnett falling apart was the right way to go, and Paul Pierce, and turns out that wasn't the case, and the Nets have just been a disaster ever since. They've gone through multiple owners. Jay-Z was there for a while. That Russian billionaire was there for a while, and it's just like they cycle through these guys, and it's like these franchises are just a mess. The Nets, the Mets, and the Jets. There's something about that name. I would change the names.
And the Islanders.
And the Islanders. They're going to have to call them the I don't know. There's no name for it. But think about it, right? These secondary teams in New York, all terrible. All have the same name. I don't know what these franchises are going to do to rebuild. I really don't. But it's, if this lottery turns in, the tinfoil hats are going to be out in full fury if the Warriors and their 2% chance, they have a 2.8% chance even at the fourth pick.
I don't think it's even just the tinfoil hats. I mean, this is the kind of thing that if you're a long-term fan of a team that should be in the top five and you don't end up there, it's the kind of thing that makes you stop watching basketball. Another one of these teams that already has stars on their team get these top players again instead of your team, who's now going to spend another 5 years doing nothing, waiting for another lottery pick that's never coming. Like, it's how you kill the fan bases, man.
I wonder if, Metal Chris, there is a chance that this lottery top four is completely shaken up, where, like, you know, the Bulls move up from 9 to 3, and, you know, the Warriors jump into the top four, and you have two teams making massive jumps, that the NBA looks and go, you know what, I think we've already got this. This is actually enough against tanking. Like, this is enough of a push against tanking the way we smoothed out these odds. It was only a few years ago they did that. So it's like, maybe there's going to be enough chaos. I know there probably won't, but it's to a certain point where you go, dude, like, how much are you going to keep doing this? Just give everybody the same odds? I mean, that makes it worse. When a team that's just like the Warriors, it's the end of their run and they get that type of luck, I know you got people watching these drawings, but you can't tell me that you're not going to be able to. You're feeding into a rumor and a stereotype and everything else.
But if it's demoralizing as a fan to just watch your team constantly deal with this while watching the Spurs go into another dynasty and all, you know, it's like,
I'm totally with you. I am totally with you. You're absolutely right. So we'll see. We'll talk to Ben Strober in about 15 minutes, and we'll try to bring some number one pick manifestation of the Wizards. How about that? Nick Ashew on the Fan. Imagine if the NFL had a draft lottery. There is so much hype around next year's NFL draft with all the quarterbacks that could potentially be drafted. And I know we're a year away, and I know that could change. But, I mean, in the NFL, you know, right? Like, you have the worst record, you're going to have the number one overall pick. If you look at, and these are early mock drafts for next year, but if you look at the amount of quarterbacks that could get drafted, we're talking three quarterbacks in the first three picks again first. And again, this is now, but Arch Manning, Dante Moore, Julian Sayin. That could be 1, 2, 3 in the draft next year. Then there's even wide receivers. I mean, Jeremiah Smith out of Ohio State. The hype around this kid is unbelievable. Ryan Coleman Williams. I've actually seen him mock to the Commanders right now, which would be great. I mean, there was the hype around, he was originally Ryan Williams. Remember Ryan Coleman Williams now. But, I mean, another guy. Like, between quarterbacks and wide receivers in next year's draft, I mean, there's going to be a tankathon in the NFL, and I know people are like, NFL players don't tank. Yeah, but teams do. Teams will suddenly sit guys, and maybe you want C.J. Carr out of Notre Dame, the quarterback, who's another one. I mean, you have five quarterbacks drafted in the first round again next year. And I actually did this. I did run a sim one time. I took the NBA. AI did this for me. It was a lot of AI. But took the NBA odds, and it kind of carried them over to the NFL with the current records and what it would have looked like this year. And the Commanders jumped from 7-2, by the way, in that. I did put that up on Instagram if you want to see what those results looked like. But, yeah, I mean, if you were to take an NFL draft lottery, you'd have a lot of... Could you imagine the chaos if the Chiefs won? Like, you think about how bad it would be if the Warriors were to get the number one pick in this draft and the 1% chance they have to do it. Imagine the Chiefs missing the playoffs 1 year and then they get the number one overall pick. Now, obviously, they're not going to go quarterback, so there's a little bit of different outrage to a point because it's such a... Everybody wants that next great quarterback. Great quarterbacks are the equivalent to just any star in the NBA draft because it's such a focal point. But, I mean, imagine the Chiefs next year getting the number one overall pick. And since they don't need a quarterback, they, you know, either trade back and get just like a massive haul or they draft Jeremiah Smith and just get a wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it would just be the outrage. The outrage that we would have if that was the case. I don't know what it would take for the NFL to ever have a lottery system, but I'd love to see what that looks like. If nobody, I get that it's a longer season in the NBA. I get that by week, you know, by game 60, when a team is absolutely eliminated, that's the equivalent of like the last 2 or 3 weeks of an NFL season where guys are suddenly sitting and they're hurt and they're not playing the rest of the way. So it doesn't look as obvious when it's a 20-game stretch versus a 2 or 3-game stretch in the NFL, but it happens in the NFL too. It's not players that are half-assing. It's just organizations go, yeah, you're hurt, you're sitting now. We know where we are and we're fighting for that last spot. Players don't do it. Front offices do. And you cannot convince me otherwise. But yeah, this draft lottery, I mean, for the NBA, it is the hype around this thing is unbelievable. And look, I get it, right? But I'll say this. I mean, you can have rookies beyond number one or number two. B.J. Edgecombe was a number three overall pick. And I know he's at times looked like a rookie, but man, he was, what one notch below Cooper Kupp, I'd say, in terms of a rookie season. He was great this year. And look at him. He's had some great games for the Sixers in the playoffs. I know the Sixers were a mess in this series, but, you know, you don't... I know we want the number one pick and know we want to see the Wizards have their opportunity to pick anybody, but this draft is so deep that at least the consolation prize is very talented player is going to be drafted by the Wizards and they can't fall past fifth. And I know fifth sounds nightmarish, but there is a lot of talent even at number five that might end up being better. Like, just because you're drafted fifth versus the third overall pick does not mean the number three overall pick is going to be better than the number five. You know what I mean? I think that's really the difference we're looking at here, where you can still have that opportunity to draft a franchise-changing player, and it may not be number one. Look, Trey Johnson for the Wizards may end up being better than half the guys that were drafted above him, and he went seven. You know, I mean, he's getting Ray Allen comparisons. Just wait. He could end up being an absolute star in this league. Really quiet kid. May not be a vocal star, but he could be an absolute star in this league. So, you know, there's at least that, look, we're going to sit here and we're going to project good. We're going to pray and we're going to hope. But there is at least the, okay, this draft is loaded and it's deep. If they fall, which there is a chance, very good chance that could happen. We'll talk to Ben Strober about this next. Nick Ashy on the Fan. Tomorrow we know the Wizards' destiny. NBA draft lottery, as hyped as any drawing of teams and order of teams as we've ever had. Not even the actual draft, just the order. And then the NBA is going to screw it up and change the odds more and give the Warriors more chances to jump ahead. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Ben Strober will be covering this tomorrow, live on this station right here. Although, you know, Ben, Game Day Garage is also doing a live stream, so you and I are competitors tomorrow, my friend. But I want to talk to you anyway because you're my pal, and you and I have talked about this for a while. And listen, dude, like I know it's been like nonstop, constant, where the Wizards going to pick, what's going to happen. I mean, look, we know that sitting there with the 14% chance to have the number one overall pick and the Pacers and Nets are all there. And I mean, it's inevitable there's at least one jump in this draft, but like, where are you sitting right now in terms of just your confidence level that the Wizards don't have a massive fall all the way to five?
I feel relatively confident, which is weird for sure, considering they fell four spots last year. 25 times they've been in the lottery in history. They've dropped in 11 of those, only moved up three times. I guess the good news is you don't have to move up technically to get the first pick. Even moving back can be a win for the Wizards in this scenario. As long as you stay in that top four, it really will feel like a win for the Wizards in this case. I'm feeling relatively good about it. I don't know why. I think maybe that's just my way of coping with it right now, trying to get excited for tomorrow, because like Danny, Grant. Well, Grant thinks they're going to get the first pick, which is really interesting. Danny, of course, is thinking the inevitable is going to happen. They get the fifth pick.
Yes.
I'm choosing
yes.
to be a little bit more optimistic here, and I think it's made my week a little bit easier, but I'm nervous as ever, to tell you the least.
Well, Danny is the most jaded Wizards fan there is. I mean, even more than probably anybody else. So I get it. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you're right. Like, we haven't had a team with these odds stay at number one since, what, the Pistons in 2021. I mean, we've watched a lot of these jumps. We watched the Mavs go from 11 to 1, the Hawks go from 10 to 1. I'll tell you this, though. You know the team I'm rooting against the most is the Indiana Pacers. For them to go to the finals and for them to then get, like, they could lose their pick altogether because it could go to the Clippers if they pick, it's really only 5 and 6 is as far as they can go. I can't tell you how much, Ben, I am rooting for the Pacers to have their pick land at 5 and 6 just so it goes to the Clippers. Because, damn it, that's tanking. Think about this. You have your best player, if you're the Pacers, tear his Achilles. They mailed it in this season. The Celtics, same thing. Best player tears his Achilles. I know they made some trades, but they didn't mail it in this season. They were at least in the playoffs this year. I'm rooting against the Pacers so much because of that.
You know, be careful what you say, because you mentioned how you want to desperately see them go to 5 or 6. You don't want to see them get 6, because if they are 6, that means the Wizards are locked in at 5. So you better hope they get 5 and not 6.
All right, 5. All right, 5. 5. I'm hoping for 5. I'm hoping for 5. How's that?
That would be very good, because that would mean the Wizards got into the top 4. That would be a big win for you. You can go crazy if you see the Pacers come up at 5. But if you see them come up at 6, you might as well just turn it off. Also, if you see the Kings come up at 9, turn the TV off. I'm not even exaggerating. That would mean the Wizards are locked in at 5 as well.
It's just, I mean, the moving parts with this are, I mean, there's just...
It's frustrating, right?
And it is. And look, I mean, there's even these outside chances that, like, imagine if the Thunder get a top 4 pick in this. I mean, there's a chance that happens too. The Warriors, right? I mean, I know these are like 1% chances we're talking about, but, I mean, one of these teams jumping, oh, people are going to lose their minds.
Well, think about the law of averages. Like, the law of averages would indicate that hopefully a team like that with a 1% chance doesn't win again, because it somehow has happened the last 2 seasons.
That's what I've been saying. We are on the same wavelength. That's what I've been saying. I've been trying to manifest this for the Wizards, Ben. This is good.
That's what I'm thinking as well. And Nick, another thing probability-wise, like, I'm trying to think of everything as, like, I'm doing probability and statistics, like the law of averages. Everything is supposed to work out at some point in the universe. There's as many outcomes that happen. The Wizards are bound to not get 5, hopefully, for that reason, because the worst record team has dropped to 5 the last 3 years. And statistically, for it to happen 4 years in a row is a very low percentage chance. I think it's around 5%. So hopefully, if you have those statistics on your side, maybe the Wizards just get a little bit more lucky tomorrow. But at the end of the day, it's still a 47.8% chance, whatever it is at this point. So, like, the odds are the odds, and you can't really argue against that. It is what it is. But thankfully, if you look on the bright side, like, glass half full, they have a 52% chance of not getting the fifth pick. That is a better than average chance. I think a lot of people are getting lost in the fact that the fifth pick is a 47.9% chance. They're like, oh, that means that's the most likely scenario. I'm like, no, they have a 52% chance of not picking 5. Like, why do you guys not understand simple probability and statistics?
There you go. And you know what? And it's a positive way to look at it, too. And I like this. We need all this positive energy we can for this team. Now, you're obviously talking a lot, talking to Ben Strober here on The Fan. Top 4 is you. Do you feel that there is a significant drop-off in talent? Though this is a deep lottery and a deep draft, do you feel that this is a significant drop-off in talent after those potential top 4 picks?
I think it's significant in terms of what you're really looking for from a player, and I think the Wizards need their foundational superstar player, and I think you can find that in the top 4 of this draft, especially the top 3. But when you go to 5 or 6, there's really talented players between Flemings, Acuff, Wagler, Lendenborg, who might go later. He's a bit older. Those guys are all going to be, I think, really good players. You're going to have players that might even become all-star foundational pieces on the playoff team. The Wizards need a superstar player. That is the thing they desperately have missed ever since John Wall got hurt. That's why they haven't been any good, really, since John Wall got hurt. They haven't had a true cornerstone piece for this franchise. And I think if you get that by winning in the lottery tomorrow or landing in the top 3, that's where you can really complete this rebuild. This entire thing has been built up for this moment to get the foundational piece to really lead the entire thing.
What did you think of Darren Peterson talking about the, you know, the creatine overdose, essentially, that caused him to cramp for all that time?
it's not surprising that there was something behind the scenes, like more information came out. And obviously it makes sense that his camp would put this out at this time to kind of like ease some of the concern. I've never really been that worried about the concerns, I'm putting air quotes there, that exist around Darren Peterson. Like, if you want to say the hamstring thing, like, kept his burst down, we'll see how he tests at the combine with his medicals and all that stuff, what he measures in at, because that's obviously going to be an important part of how boards will shift over the course of the pre-draft process here. But I don't know, this kind of sounds like a dumb mistake. Like, how do you overdose on creatine? Like, you're supposed to take 5 grams of it a day. Like, I know about this stuff a little bit. So I don't know if he was trying to load up on it early on to get the effects early. Like, was he taking 20 to 30 grams a day? I don't know. And not hydrating properly. It just kind of seems like a mistake that an 18 or 19 year old kid would make at some point in his life. But, you know, I think it eases the concerns a little bit why there was kind of this mental block thing for him, because, you know, the way he described it, where he felt like he was almost going to die on the trainer's table, I mean, it's serious stuff.
I mean, he's like he was going through the load phase, which was back in the day what everybody thought you needed to do, and without getting too into it, it's
unnecessary.
Five. The key number is five. That's all you need, which is literally a 16-ounce steak, by the way. That's, or, you know, a significant amount of, anyway, nobody cares about any of that part. But yeah, I think it does take away some of the concern, because that really, right, it felt just like there had to be more. And of course, if this is the truth or whatever, you want to ease the concern, you want to give the full story. But I mean, it became a really uncomfortable conversation around him for a while of like, does this kid not want to play basketball? Or is this about him preserving himself for the draft? So you at least have some level of a background, you know, that's there. I think, look, we look at DeBonsa as the guy that makes the most sense for the Wizards in terms of his position, his fit, and where they are. But, you know, if it ends up being Darren Peterson, I feel like that's the next best spot there. What about if Cameron Boozer, if the Wizards are on the board at 3 and Cameron Boozer is available and Peterson and DeBonsa are already off the board, is it, at this point for you, just take the most talented player, take the most upside? Because I feel like people are not giving Cameron Boozer enough credit, and they just talk about, well, the athleticism. He's a really complete player, rebounder, you know, passer, still a scorer. I know he's not like, it's not Victor Wembanyama, but like, I feel like Cameron Boozer still has a strong upside as a number 3 pick.
His acumen of a basketball player at his age is wildly impressive, and I think that can't really be ignored throughout this pre-draft process, because that's what's going to make his game translate to the next level. I get the concerns. He's not athletic enough. He's not going to finish over people. He's not going to move people with his body to the next level. I don't know how much of that I necessarily buy. Like, he has enough athleticism where I think he could play. He's just going to be a walking 20-10 in the NBA is what I believe. But I love his passing ability. He just knows where the defense is going to go at all times. Watching him play at person, the second he gets the basketball, it's almost like he can directly telegraph exactly where everyone's going to be on the floor 5 seconds from that moment, where the defense is going to be. I think that's a trait that bodes well for the next level, because he's going to be able to help an offense flow really well in that system there with Alex Saar, with Trae Young. I could see everybody feeding off really well the way he processes the game. He'd be my 3rd overall pick if I had it right now.
Talking to Ben Strober here on The Fan, the NBA playoffs have had, I mean, the storylines, the comebacks in series, the wild games, the almost fights, the conflicts with refs. I mean, there's so much going on in these playoffs. And yet, you know, the thing that always stands out to me is that I look at the East and go, yeah, maybe the Knicks are the best team in the East right now, but the East just feels so wide open, where I'm not talking Wizards top 3 next year, but I look at an Eastern Conference where they can rise up those standings very quickly if they keep this rebuild going in the right direction.
Absolutely. It's been pretty mid, to be honest with you. Philadelphia had their run there where they beat Boston, and everyone's like, oh, wow, this is the Philadelphia team we were supposed to see the whole season. We never really got to see it because Paul George was suspended for 25 games. Joel Embiid rarely ever plays. And, you know, of course, he's hurt again now, and I think him being out there while he's hurt the way he is has actually hurt them in this series, because he just offers nothing for Philadelphia defensively right now. But that was supposed to be like a fun and frisky team, and Boston's nonsense where they shoot 53s a game finally burned out because they ran Tatum into the ground for some reason. Don't know why they did that. Maybe they're going to break up that tandem between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum this offseason. So there could be movement around the Eastern Conference. Is Giannis even going to be in the Eastern Conference? Like, there's a lot of things that could happen that could really critically shape up what happens in terms of, you know, what the outlook is for each roster. I wouldn't sleep on Indiana. Of course, because if, you know, your worst nightmare, they get the number one overall pick, they get AJ DeBonsa. My goodness, that team's probably the second favorites to win the Eastern Conference next year. Detroit's not going anywhere. Cleveland, I don't know. They might break things up because the Harden trade has been a disaster for them. I could see a scenario where if the Wizards kind of stand pat, they get a really good player in this draft, they actually do have AD and Trae Young play for them next year, then you're in a good situation.
What do you think happens today in this Pistons-Cavs game? James Harden, you're right, has been – it's playoff James Harden again, the same thing we see every year with him.
It's over. He looks old and slow, and he's always had like a methodical brand of basketball to his game that looked a little bit slower than most, just probably because of like the way he's been built, and that's just how he's played. But he's been in the league for 16 years, and we have a decade and a half of a sample size that this dude just does not rise in the playoffs, and nothing has changed for me. I think that series is over. They just do not match up well at all because nobody can guard Cade. Cade Cunningham's been the best player in the series, and there's a reason why they're probably going to win that in five games.
Is there any chance that, and again, I'm jumping ahead in the West here, but if we have a Thunder-Spurs Western Conference Finals, which is what I see happening, is there any chance that this year, I think down the road it could happen, any chance that this year the Spurs dethrone the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I mean, honestly, Wemby has been the story of the playoffs for me, because I think the number one storyline is not, is OKC going to repeat, is how is Victor Wembanyama going to do in his first stint in the playoffs? And 39-15 last night, 12 blocks in game one. Oh my God, this is the future face of the league right in front of our face. I don't know if this is the year where they can get it done, just considering the Lakers had 50-40-90 splits the other night and they lost the game by 18 points. Like, how does that, that should not happen, yet it does with a team like Oklahoma City that just has these guys like Cason Wallace, A.J. Mitchell coming off the bench that look like really good, even expendable pieces if they want to make a big move around the draft or lottery, whatever may happen with the Thunder. They're just so deep that I have a really hard time believing somebody beats them this year.
That's the thing, too, by the way. The Thunder have their first-round pick, their original first-round pick, going in the Mavs, yet they still have two more first-round picks in this draft.
I know. They could end up at the top.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, God. They're so well-built, though. I mean, really, like, I watch. Here's the thing. I'll be honest with you, Ben. If the Thunder got the number one overall pick, like, that makes them the villains in the NBA, but it's based on jealousy. Like, I will hate them, but I will just look at them and go, God, they're so well-constructed, and they really are. Ben Strober, Locked On Wizards. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Nick, let's hope for some good luck tomorrow.
Oh, we are hoping for that tomorrow, and I am just thinking of the Thunder getting that number one overall. Really, though, how can you not look at them and just respect what they've built, what Sam Presti's built? Like, that's really, you teams can be villains, but it's really just based on jealousy. And I will 100% tell you that I will root against the Thunder, yet at the same time go, God, I respect the hell out of them. I mean, just so well constructed the way they've built this roster. Again, you can have all the picks in the world, but you have to be able to identify that talent, how it fits in your roster, and they've also done that. The crazy thing is that number one overall, that the pick that they own is the Clippers pick, okay? So they're sitting at 12 right now. That pick comes from the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander trade. Technically the Paul George trade, but really the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander trade at this point. You could have the league MVP, who would be a back-to-back MVP. You could win the NBA championship in back-to-back years and get the number one overall pick from the pick that you got in the trade where you received the MVP. I mean, it is just, I don't know what they've done to make this happen, but it's just so well run there. And it's just jealousy. Wizards just copy everything they've done. Nick Ashew on the Fan. So Aaron Rodgers is visiting with the Steelers, and now it looks like we're going to have a result, and he's probably going to stay in Pittsburgh. Why? Like, in all honesty, one, the best thing is probably to retire at this point. But here's what I will say. He could get another coach fired. Metal Chris, he threw 24 touchdowns and had 7 interceptions last year. There's still something left in the tank. Why would you go back to Pittsburgh when Mike Tomlin's not there anymore? That's what I don't understand.
Well, because it's his old coach is the idea, but I bet he just wants to get him fired.
See, that's my thing. Look,
that's what Aaron Rodgers does now, is just get coaches fired.
Didn't he have a falling out with Mike McCarthy at the end, like he always does with people? Oh, so why would he want to go play with him again? Is he because he's grown up and more mature now?
I don't know, man. Like, none of this makes sense to me, but because it involves a Cowboys coach and the Steelers, I'm just glad that I don't like any of them. So great. Good job, guys.
Call me crazy, but the Cardinals would be a more fun offense for Aaron Rodgers to sling it around in for a year. I mean, really. They've got some talent on that offense. I mean, with
maybe like
that back,
Kurt Warner when they had him, you know?
Why not? I mean, why not? Marvin Harrison Jr., you've got one of the best then tight ends in the NFL there. You got a backfield that's got, I mean, Jeremiah Love, and you still signed Tyler Allgeier, and then you still have, you know, James Conner, and I mean, even Trey Benson, if they want to have all four of those backs, which they probably won't, but there's just so much talent in that Cardinals offense. I'm like, I know it was kind of a rumor, and they were just trying to, I guess, pitch him to come there, but
NFC
kind of
NFC West is a tough division, though. Not AFC, what are they, AFC North?
The North.
That they're in. That's, what, he's probably third best quarterback in there now?
Well, that's so. The thing. And honestly, think about this, too. The AFC, the Steelers probably won't even make the playoffs. I don't think the Steelers are a playoff team next year. They barely squeaked in last year, and that was with
Mike Tomlin.
They still
got their coach fired.
Yeah. Like, honestly, Mike McCarthy is the guy that follows the guy, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be a year older. I just don't see the Steelers are a team that feels like they're eroding right now. It's an organization that's had a lot of success for a long time, but they've had continuity. They've had good coaches, and they've kept them there. Mike Tomlin masked a lot of the deficiencies that are there. Look, I'm a big believer in those NFLPA report cards that come out because it's players telling you. It's giving you the real unbiased review of what it's like to be a part of that organization, and the Steelers did not do well. They didn't. I mean, just the field alone, abject disaster. But like, if an organization's not going to invest in things like field and, you know, player facilities and stuff like that, what's that say about the rest of the organization? And Steelers have been kicking that quarterback can down the road for a long, long time. I mean, ever since Ben Roethlisberger forgot how to play football and physically fell apart in the middle of a season, Kenny Pickett wasn't the answer. They've gone through a bunch of different randos, and it's just like, what are we doing at this point?
Oh, they're in the search like everyone else is. And it's the NFL.
Yeah. It just, the Steelers have had a level of consistency where the floor has been high for a while. I think we are finally at the point now where we may watch the Steelers have some dark ages.
Start turning into the Pirates.
I mean, honestly, think about this. I mean, Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin. Those are coaches that both won Super Bowls. Those are coaches that had a level of at least consistency that existed with the organization. But now what happens after? I mean, it's another year of Aaron Rodgers, which is great because next year's draft is loaded with quarterbacks, so maybe that's where they find their guy and maybe it works out. But other than that, it's Will Howard and Drew Aller. I mean, is that what we're looking for here? Those are backups, and they might be good backups, but they're getting older, and T.J. Watt went through that whole thing with like the freak lung injury and kind of felt like he started to take a step back a little bit too after being dominant for so long. And I'm just – there's something about this Steelers team that just screams utter disaster next year. The AFC does not give them any room in their future for any error whatsoever. And there's potentially, you know, 10 playoff teams in the AFC next year. It's not the NFC. There's a lot more. And I think there's a real chance that this Steelers team has a rough year, and Steelers fans are like, oh, we miss Mike Tomlin.
Do you think
it'll
be worse than the Browns?
No. The Browns are just always going to be terrible. Because the Browns,
I just mean for a season, though.
They're still more talented than where the Browns are, because the Browns are going to end up starting Deshaun Watson again, and we've learned he can't play football. I mean, he cannot play football anymore. So no matter what,
so you think
I'd rather have
going to be like lower middle of the pack, and Browns are just going to be like kind of one of the dead last.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers as quarterback over Deshaun Watson still.
You're trying to get a draft pick for next season, because Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there next year. You know,
well, that's true.
Like, so it's like,
that's why it's almost like, yeah, if you're the Steelers, it's like, sorry, Mike McCarthy, but you're going to be our sacrificial lamb, and we're going to go ahead and just sacrifice the season and start Will Howard and Drew Aller all year so we can draft another quarterback to replace them next year. I mean, that's what we're looking at. So, all right, if you're on 980, you're going bye-bye. We got another 45 minutes or so on The Fan coming up. God, Drew Aller, imagine him starting for the Steelers. That'd be funny. Nick Cashew on The Fan.